Manor Care Worship Service, Sunday, April 15, 2012. Phil Poe supplying the pulpit.
Well, we're glad to be here this afternoon. My name is Pastor Phil Poe, and I'm the pastor of Harvest Reformed Church here in Minot. And some of you who are a little older might remember it as Minot Reformed Church a long time ago. But now it's called Harvest Reformed Church. We meet up there on that hill at the Grand International Hotel in the morning, on Sunday morning. And we're glad to be here this afternoon. And I have my wife with me, Karen, here in the front row. Diana Doctor is playing the piano for us today. She's the pianist from our church. And we have Jeff Milam and two of his children back there, Savannah and Joel, have come to help out this afternoon. So we're glad they're here with us. And I see a couple more coming in off the parking lot there. But we're going to go ahead and start. We're going to sing a hymn, and then I'll have prayer, and then we'll have some more singing, and then I'll have a little message from God's Word for us here this afternoon. You know, in the Christian faith, we confess that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again to life on the third day. He ascended into heaven, and He's coming back someday, we say in the Apostles' Creed, to judge the quick and the dead, or to judge the living and the dead. And I wonder this afternoon, how do you feel about Jesus Christ coming back? He is going to. Christians have always believed that, and the Bible teaches that very clearly in many places. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself taught that to His disciples. And I'm going to turn to one of those places in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, a New Testament book. I'm going to turn there to chapter 1. And there, this is after Jesus had been crucified, He'd been buried, He rose from the dead, and He's teaching His disciples right before He goes back to heaven, right before the ascension. And Luke wrote the book of Acts, Luke did. And Luke says that He showed Himself alive after suffering by many infallible proofs. He showed Himself alive to His disciples. And they could see that He was. They're called many infallible proofs. Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So He did that. And then we're told in verse 9, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, "Now, when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up," they're standing there, and He's going up in the sky, "and as they did, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel," you know, dressed in white. Evidently, they were angels. "And they said to the disciples, 'Men of Galilee,'" because they were all from Galilee, "'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven?'" Why are you just standing there looking up into the sky? "'This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. You saw Him leave, and He will return the same way.'" Now, when? When's that going to happen? Well, we don't really know, do we? Jesus said that when He was here that no man knows. And if somebody sets a date or tries to predict, you know they're wrong. They'd be a false prophet because nobody knows when He's coming back. Only His Father in heaven. So He didn't tell us when. He only told us that He would come back. Now, I myself, this is my personal opinion, I don't think it's very far away. But He will be returning for His people. Now, some people say, you know, things just keep going on like they always have. It's just the same. Day after day, things go on. Nothing changes. And that's true so far. So far. But not forever. Because everything someday will come to an end and Jesus will return. Now, the Apostle Peter, one of his disciples, later wrote about that in the New Testament. And I'm going to turn over there to what we call 2 Peter, and that means it's Peter's second letter. He wrote two of them. St. Peter wrote two letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Now, this is the second one. And here's what he says about that. Peter says, in the end times, people will be scoffing and saying, where's the promise of His coming? Everything's just the same as it was. And then Peter says, well, they willfully forget something. They're forgetting something. That by the word of God, the heavens that were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. They're forgetting. This world isn't always going on like it's always been. We look to the past and there was the time of the flood. And that changed everything drastically, that flood did. And God wiped out the world in judgment except for Noah and his family on the ark. Well, Peter goes on to say, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, by the word of God, are reserved for fire. Next time it's going to be fire, not water. Until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But he goes on to say this, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but He's long-suffering toward us. He's patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, did you get what Peter said there? He said, you know, with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day. And if you look at how long Jesus has been gone there, by the way God, you know, looks at time, it's been, in our time, it's been about 2,000 years. But if in God's sight, 1,000 years is as a day, to God, it's only been 2 days. You know, the way God reckons with time, it isn't very long at all, really. But how does that make you feel? Does that aggravate you? Or does that give you hope that Christ is coming back again? Does it make you happy? Or does it make you scared? Well, my friend, you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is your personal Savior, and if you are trusting in Him alone, and you've accepted Him as your Savior, He's not going to come back to hurt you. He's going to come back to take you to be with Him where He is, to the happiest place ever. And we can read about that, by the way, the Apostle Paul wrote about that in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 9, and in verse 28, the Apostle Paul said, so Christ was offered once. He's talking about the way back there in the past. One time He did it. He was offered once on the cross to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear the second time, apart from sin, for salvation, meaning He's coming again. Only that time He's not coming back to bear our sins. He's already borne the sins of His people on the cross. He's coming back to take His people to be with Him. Remember He told His disciples in the upper room, don't let your hearts be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to go there. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then someday I'm going to come back and take you to be with Me in that place I've prepared for you. It's the happiest place ever. Well, what's going to happen on the last day? I think I've got the answer over here, not because I'm smart, but because God has already told us right here in His book what's going to happen on the last day. And all you have to do is know where to look for it in here. And it's in a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote called 1 Thessalonians. And here's what Paul wrote to the Christians, and of course it's for us today if we're believers. He said, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. In other words, I don't want you to be in the dark about this. I want you to know about it. Concerning those who have fallen asleep. You know, what about our loved ones who are, maybe they're believers, they're Christians, and they've already died. They're already buried in the ground out here somewhere. That's what it means by falling asleep. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about that, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with Him, that is, when He comes back, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. In other words, their bodies are buried in the ground, but if they're Christians, if they died in the Lord, their spirits went to be with the Lord. Their spirits are happy with Him now. But when He comes back, they're coming with Him for the resurrection of their bodies. And He goes on to say, we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, in other words, if we're still alive, the day the Lord returns, we're not going to go ahead of them. Their bodies will be resurrected first. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who are already died in the Lord, their bodies will rise first from the grave. And then we who are alive, if we're alive at that time, if we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. And he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. G. Campbell Morgan was a great Christian minister, and he said, I never begin my work in the morning without thinking that perhaps He may interrupt my work and begin His own. I'm not looking for death. I'm looking for Him. Jesus is coming again, and that's the Christian's hope. It's going to be a very great and powerful miracle when it happens. The world has never seen anything like it before. The Bible says we're all going to meet Him in the air. We're going to take off and meet Him up there in the air. When I was a kid, I used to go to Bible camp in the summertime, and we sang this song around the campfire sometimes, and some of you may remember this song. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Is your heart in tune for the coming of the Lord? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says, through Jesus Christ, we can have peace with God. Peace with Him. So we don't have to be scared when the Lord comes back. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, and that means anybody in this room, if you believe in Him, whosoever believeth in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. We don't have to be afraid. If we belong to the Lord, we can wait for Christ to come, and we'll wait for the sound of the trumpet. We wait for the great resurrection day that's coming. To close with number 113 in that blue songbook. 113, Blessed Assurance. Starts out with a refrain, doesn't it? We're very glad to be with you today and to be able to spend some time with you and have this brief time of worship with you on this Sunday afternoon. And we're glad that you were able to be here today too. and to worship the Lord. Pardon?
Glad to have you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We're all glad to be here today, and maybe sometime we can come back. Okay? Let me close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've had together in this time of worship. And we thank you for these beautiful songs that we could sing that express the hope of the believer and the joy of the believer in our eternal prospects as we await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will bless each one who's been in this room today. May your Holy Spirit take the truth that has been spoken and sow it into our hearts, that we may exercise a real faith in Jesus Christ. Bless all these people and give them the strength they need to go on from day to day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I guess now you get some cookies and stuff, huh? That's what they told me.